talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of Oklahoma Port Council here. And Roy, tell us a little bit, just give us some closure, I guess, on this 2019 legislative session from your perspective. Give us kind of a feel of what happened for, I guess, the livestock industry here in Oklahoma, but agriculture is in general.
Well, this is the 21st session that I've spent at the Capitol working with Oklahoma Port Council. And I think as I look back at it, I would tell you it's probably the most successful session we've seen in the time I've been here. We went into the session with a number of key agenda items that we wanted to get accomplished, and we were able to accomplish those, not just talk about them, but actually see some legislation passed and the governor sign it. We started with a piece of legislation that would put caps on nuisance lawsuits, that we've seen lots of nuisance lawsuits in North Carolina where damages are just extraordinary. Without, if you didn't have caps, the damages would just be extraordinary. We were able to get caps adopted on agricultural nuisance lawsuits, and a big thank you to all of our partners in agriculture. I can't think of a single ag group in the state that didn't help us push that through, but was really a priority for the Port Council to see that, given what we've seen in Iowa and Missouri and now North Carolina with nuisance suits. We wanted to try to provide some protection to folks that are following the law, that are doing what they're asked to do, and I think we've done that and really proud of what that accomplishment is. We followed that a little bit. We passed a ban on feeding garbage to swine, and people ask, why would you do that? Feeding a plate waste is one of the ways that China is spreading African swine fever, and maybe we'll talk about ASF a little bit more in a minute. But we still allowed the feeding of plate waste. You had to have a permit to do it, and you had to cook the waste for a certain amount of time. But rather than trying to continue to enforce a permit and making sure that people were actually following what those guidelines were, we thought now was a good time to just go ahead and eliminate that allowance altogether. We didn't have anybody currently using a permit, so we weren't taking away anyone's livelihood, if you will. So now if you're feeding hogs for commercial, you know, to go into to the food supply, if you will, commercial food supply, there's no more feeding of plate waste to those animals. And again, that's an animal health issue, and we're trying to protect the health of our herd. Department of Ag was very successful in cleaning up a number of old statutes that just needed updating. We found a statute that said that was out of date as it related to carcass disposal on our farms, and would require us to burn all carcasses, and our current regs don't allow that. So we had to go in and update some old statutes as well. But you know, you add to that, you've talked to other ag groups. We protected the sales tax exemption this year. We looked out for things that were important to rural Oklahoma, and I think overall, I just couldn't be more pleased with the way this session went from an agricultural perspective.
Yeah, certainly. The bill that you mentioned that puts caps on those nuisance lawsuits, certainly all of agriculture benefits from that. I know you guys, as you said, spearheaded that move there. The plate waste, of course, that's very topical right now with the spread of African swine fever. But talking about what they did there at ODAF, I know that they had come up with some money there to hire another state vet in addition to the one that we already have, which I think that should be as important as well, especially with what we experienced at OYE this year.
Yeah, I mentioned African swine fever earlier, and I think one of the most important roles within the Department of Ag, you know, we're a livestock association, but one of their roles is to protect the herd, the health of the different livestock herds here in the state. And having an appropriate number of veterinarians on staff within the Animal Industries Division and the state vet's office is paramount to their success. I mean, I don't think most of us appreciate if you don't really get down into it. And so some extra money in the budget for them to hire another veterinarian. I know Dr. Hall's really excited about that. I know Secretary Arthur's excited about it. And I think it's really good for everybody that's raising livestock here in the state to have some additional resources in that state vet's office.
And you guys yourselves are coming up this summer or in sometime in the near future, you'll be doing your own coordinated efforts to prepare for that potential African swine fever outbreak if it ever landed here in the United States.
Yeah, we've been doing exercises and roundtables, whatever you want to call them, going back into November of last year, really with the first real outbreak in August a year ago in China. We've seen a great deal of effort on the part of USDA, on the part of state vets, especially on the part of Dr. Hall and his team here in Oklahoma, the pork industry, for us to start doing what we can to prepare for how would we respond to an African swine fever break. So we've got an exercise plan for July where we're going to sit down with the state vets in Kansas, Texas, Colorado, and talk about how, because of the movement of animals between our states, how would we as a group regionalize, if you will, or address an African swine fever break on a broader basis than just Oklahoma's plan and Kansas's plan and Texas's plan. So trying to get at this concept of regionalization, how would we approach a disease break from a regional perspective, then we can more quickly return to business as usual should we ever have an outbreak.
Overall, like you said, I think this legislative session was a major win for all of Oklahoma agriculture. How do you think the administration, the state administration being its first year, and then, of course, you had a large group of freshman legislators this year, they seemed like they performed in a very friendly manner and favorable for Oklahoma agriculture?
Well, it certainly was a very different year at the legislature this year than it's been the last couple. You didn't have the animosity over whether we were going to raise taxes or not raise taxes. You had roughly a third of the group being in their first year. Mm-hmm. That's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I think they identified the things that were priorities. I think the governor has done an outstanding job. It's extremely positive to see a governor that's genuinely out advocating for Oklahoma and the good things that we have going for us every day. And agriculture is one of those real bright spots for our state.
From a national perspective, President Trump recently threatened to put those tariffs on Mexico for at least to try to coerce them to address some of their immigration issues down there. Luckily, just this past week, they came to an agreement to that solved that issue, and so that is no longer a threat. As one of our major pork importers, I think that should probably give a great relief to the industry.
When you do tariffs like that, the other countries tend to retaliate, and they retaliate on goods that you're really good at producing and selling to them. Mm-hmm. And we're really good at raising pigs and producing pork and selling it around the world. So they put tariffs in place on us, and we've dealt with a 20% tariff on pork going into Mexico for most of the last year. That came off in May. And about a week later, the president suggested he was going to reinstate tariffs on all goods coming in from Mexico, which likely would have put pork immediately back on that retaliation list. Fortunately, that's not happened. That's very positive for us. Today, we're paying a 62% tariff on pork going into China at a time that China's dealing with absolute devastation within their domestic pork industry due to African swine fever, at a time they're going to have to buy pork on the market. It's the largest single opportunity we probably will ever see as a market for us to be able to export product and access a new market. And here we sit facing 62% tariffs on pork going into China. We know that rebalancing trade with China and with other countries is a far more complex than my simple mind can grasp. But we also know that U.S. pork producers, we've taken our share of bullets from others. Mm-hmm. And we desperately need to get these tariff issues resolved and get back to free trade. Because when we're at free trade, there's nobody in the world that can compete with us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're waiting on that USMCA agreement to be ratified, and that of course is slow going and in the process. But in the meantime, I know that the livestock industry is growing more and more concerned about this corn planting situation and how that will affect feed prices. I know that the cattle industry has been very vocal of that. Do you guys share that same concern?
Well, clearly, I mean, corn makes up the largest portion of swine ration, and you add in soybeans, and those two items make up the bulk of the ration, if you will, for what we finish hogs with. So anything that's going to reduce supply of corn is a real challenge for us. We're like everyone else. The markets hate uncertainty, and right now we're still trying to plant corn in the Midwest. We're still trying to plant beans. They're trying to get caught up, but we really are. We're 2 weeks, 3 weeks later than everybody would anticipate. So, yeah, very concerned, very much paying attention to what's happening in the Corn Belt with planting and then how will the crops develop over the summer.